Cole Singh. Amen. Look forward to that. All right, you have your Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. On the back of your bulletin, if you wish to follow along and take notes, there is a place provided for that. We also put the messages online at the church website. If you miss a point, you can look it up online. And many times we even put the audio of the message, the actual, so you could listen to the sermon online. So you can check the website for that. Obviously, not online yet because I haven't preached it yet, but hopefully sometime in the next day or two we'll get it online and you can listen to it again if you want to. I want to preach this morning on the subject, the shout that will be heard around the world. The shout that will be heard around the world. On April the 19th, 1776, there was a shot that was fired in Concord, Massachusetts. And that shot was called the shot that was heard around the world. It was the shot from a musket that triggered the American Revolutionary War. And that shot literally changed the history of the world. And the freedoms that we enjoy today were sparked by that shot that was heard on April the 19th, 1776. So I thank God for that shot that was fired on that day. But our text in verse number 16 speaks of another event that will literally change the world. It will not be a shot from a musket or a cannon, but it will be a shout. A shout from heaven when Jesus descends in the clouds to planet Earth. And I want to just say at the outset that if you don't like shouting, then you're just going to have to put earplugs in your ears or something because the Lord is coming back with a shout. The Bible has a lot to say about shouting. Did you know that shouting is biblical? It is biblical to shout. When God created the heavens and the earth, it says in the book of Job chapter 38 and verse 7 that the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted with joy. There was shouting when God created this thing. And when they brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into the camp, the Bible says that the people shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang. That's in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 7. Over in the book of Esther 3 and verse 11, when Ezra stood at a pulpit of wood and he was a scribe, and he opened the book of God, and the Bible says, all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord. I tell you what, when the book of God gets opened, that's something to shout about. Amen? Amen. And then in the book of Psalm 47 and verse 1, we already practiced this earlier in the service, where it says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. Clapping is biblical. And shouting unto the Lord with a voice of triumph is biblical. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, the Bible says that the people shouted, Hosanna to God in the highest. And here in our text, we see that Jesus will come again with a shout. And that shout that will be heard around the world. Amen. There has never been or never will be another shout like this shout. It will be the shout of all shouts. Amen. So while a lot of people are looking for signs, we don't need to be looking for signs. We need to be listening for the shout. And we could hear that shout today. In fact, we could hear that shout before this service is over. It's a shout that could take place at any moment. Amen. There are no signs that need to be fulfilled for Jesus to come back. and shout that shout and call us all up to be with Him in heaven. There's no signs that are necessary for that. Paul said that He could have come back in His day. And so if He could have come back in His day, He should certainly come back now. Amen. So I want you to notice four things that are associated with this shout that will be heard around the world. First of all, number one, this shout will indicate the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Savior. In verse number 15, you have the phrase, the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a, say it church, shout, with a shout. And brother, that is absolutely certain. Let the scoffers say what they will. Oh, they've been saying the Lord's going to come back for centuries. Yes, they have, and it's just that much closer today. You can bank on the Lord coming back. It is certain. There's a certainty about His coming because Jesus Himself promised, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus, and He keeps His promise. Amen. He promised He's coming back. You can take that to the bank. He is coming again. It's absolutely certain that He's coming. Do you realize that this Bible I hold in my hand, 1/4, 25%, 1/4 of this Bible is predictive prophecy. That is, this Bible, a fourth of it, predicts Christ's first coming and it predicts His second coming. Now, did He come the first time? He fulfilled that, didn't He? Over 300 passages in the Old Testament that say something about His first coming, and every one of those was minutely fulfilled, right to the letter. But did you realize for every one verse in the Old Testament that foretold of His first coming, there are 8 that foretell of His second coming? The ratio is 1:8. For every one verse about His first coming, there are 8 verses that talk about His second coming. Now, if He fulfilled all of those prophecies about His first coming, brother, I want to tell you, He's going to fulfill literally every prophecy about His second coming as well. It's absolutely certain. As we read in the Bible in the New Testament, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. For our conversation is not on earth, but our conversation is heaven, from whence we look for the Savior. Amen. We look for the Savior. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. So Christ was once offered the sins of many, and unto them, hear it, unto them that look for Him, shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now listen, you read over and over, we need to be looking for Jesus, looking for Jesus. Look, we don't look for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ. And over, God says, look for Him, look for Him, look for Him. And God would not admonish us to look for Him if He was not come. Why would God tell you to look for Him if He ain't coming? That'd be foolish, amen? It's certain. He is the certainty of His coming. But notice also in this passage, we see the character of His coming. It says the Lord Himself. The Lord Himself shall... He's not sending an angel. Amen. He's not sending a man. He is coming back in person. He is coming back personally. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. This same Jesus. The same Jesus that came forth of a virgin's womb. This Jesus that opened blinded eyes and healed and cleansed lepers. The same Jesus that straightened out crippled legs and raised the dead. The same Jesus that calmed the storm. The same Jesus that healed blinded eyes and unstopped deaf ears. The same Jesus that spoke at the shore of the Sea of Galilee and fed 5,000 people with a few fishes and a few loaves of bread. The same Jesus that was crucified on Calvary's cross for your sins and for my sins. The same Jesus that was buried and rose again the third day and is seated at the right hand of God and is interceding for us right now. That same Jesus is coming again. Amen. That same Jesus. Not another Jesus. A Jesus of the Bible. You think about it. Anytime now. Anytime now. Where's Jesus at right now? He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us. That's what he's doing right now. He's pleading my cause right now to the Father, helping me preach. And he's interceding for you to listen. He's seated right. But any day now, you know what he's going to do? He's going to get off his seat. He's going to rise to his feet. And then he's going to walk across the throne room of heaven. And according to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, there's a door. And he's going to open the door. And he's going to pass through. And he's going to make a trip from the third heaven. And he's going to go through outer space. And he's going to pass all the stars and all the galaxies and all the nebulas and all the moons and all the planets. And he's got his sight set on one speck of a planet in the universe. Planet Earth. And he's heading for planet Earth, and he's coming, through past all those stars, and then he's going to come to the planet Earth, and he's going to descend into the atmosphere, into the clouds, in the sky, and then he's going to shout, "Come up hither," and we're going to hear it, that shout. We're going to hear it. And you know what's going to happen? Gravity is not going to have any effect on us. We're going to fly away. Brother Jack, it's the ultimate getaway. Woo! I like that. My wife came over to me yesterday afternoon. We were out sign waving. My wife was there. She saw that sign. She says, "He's got a sign that says the rapture, the ultimate getaway." That would make a good track. So we're going to design a track called the ultimate getaway. It's all going to be all about the rapture. Amen? We're going to be out of here, church. Troubles left behind. You know all those troubles you're worried about? Got any troubles? I do. You got any infirmities? You got any sicknesses? You got any problems with your physical body? It's all going to be left behind. We're going to get a new body. Amen. So he's coming back personally, in person, for you and for me. Not only is he coming back personally, but he's coming back. Now, you need to understand this. He's coming back privately. The Bible says, in the next chapter, he's coming back in chapter 5 and verse 2 as a thief in the night. Now, thieves do not broadcast when they're going to show up. They come privately to your house, unannounced. Amen. That's why the Bible says no man knows the day and the hour. I have no respect at all for anybody that sets dates for the rapture. You don't know. If it could happen at any moment, how many believe it could happen at any moment? Well, that tells you right there, he can't set a date on it. It could happen any time. And you got these guys like this guy that last year that predicted a date and the Lord didn't show up. Remember that guy camping? I think it was Harold Camping. People were selling all their belongings and giving their money to this guy to promote his message. And when the Lord didn't show up on that date, you would think he would apologize and give people all their money back. Oh no, he just revised the date. Just like the Jehovah's Witnesses did when they predicted the Lord would be coming back. They revised their theology to fit. Now, dear friend, listen to me. You don't know when he's coming back. He is coming back as a thief in the night. You say, well, doesn't the Bible say, preacher, that every eye shall see him? Yes, it does. But you need to understand that his coming takes place in two phases. Two phases. First of all, he is coming secretly in the air, in the clouds, for his church. That's us. But then, after about 7 years, there's going to be a 7-year gap where all hell is going to break loose on planet Earth. But then at the end of that 7 years, they call that 7 years the tribulation period. That's what the book of Revelation is really all about. It's about that tribulation time. And so at the end, the Lord's going to come back, and then he's going to do battle with the Antichrist. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. And the horses is, and the blood's going to run to a horse's bridle. And there's going to be that great conflict. And the devil and the false prophet and the beast, they're all going to be dealt with. Amen. That's when the Lord comes back. Not secretly, but at the end of the tribulation, he's going to come back visibly, and then every eye shall see him. And he'll set up his kingdom and rule and reign for 1,000 years on planet Earth without any devil and without any false prophet, without any beast. Amen. That's going to be glorious. That's going to be glorious. But for this time, he's coming back as a thief in the night. Something I've observed about thieves. Thieves, when they enter into a house, they don't come in and wash the dirty dishes. They don't slip in and find a pile of dirty laundry and wash the dirty clothes. They don't come in and see a can of garbage and take the can of garbage outside. They don't come to take the trash out. You know what they come in the house for? Not the dirty dishes, not the dirty clothes, not the trash. They come in to get the valuable stuff. The stuff that's worth something. And when Jesus comes back as a thief in the night, he's not coming back to this world. He's not coming back for the perverts. Others. You hear me? He's not coming back for the drunkards. He's not coming back for the sinners. You know what he's coming back for? The valuable stuff. He's coming back, the Bible says, for his jewels. Amen. To gather his jewels. Those blood-bought, born-again children of God that belong to him, and all the sinners and the trash is going to be left behind. God's not going to take the trash to his heaven. Amen, amen, amen. That's a thief. Anybody knows what a thief does. Doesn't come for trash. He comes for the good stuff. Amen, amen, amen. So first of all, we see that this shout signifies the coming of the Savior, the coming of the Lord. But number two, not only does this shout indicate the Lord's coming, but also this shout indicates the catching up of the saints. The catching up of the saints. Look at verse 16 again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This shout is going to call us all out of here. Amen. There's going to be a catching away. Now, three things here that I see in this passage right here. First of all, I see a resurrection of the dead in Christ. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. People wonder, why are the dead in Christ going to rise first? And then we which are alive, why don't we go up first? Well, the simple fact is they've waited longer. and they have 6 feet farther to travel than we do. Amen? Now, if you have a better explanation, I'll be glad to hear it, but that's how I think about it. But the truth is, all that are in the graves that have been saved but died, all the saved in the graves, and all the saved that have been buried at sea, and all the saved that whose bodies have been cremated and are just ashes right now, they're all going to be raised with new glorified bodies, amen. As the old song says, ain't no grave going to hold me down. You say, well, how's that going to work? I mean, you know, you got all these particles of dust. I mean, a guy's buried at sea, the body goes down and the fish eat it, and all the particles of his body are all these fish's body. Hey, I don't worry about that stuff. You're all dust. You're all going back to dust. But God knows where those particles are. He put the dust together to make man. He can certainly call them back together again to give them a new glorified body. I'm worried about that. I just know the dead's going to be raised incorruptible, amen, with a new glorified body like unto Christ's glorified body. Man, that's a sermon in itself right there. So there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. How many of you have somebody in heaven that you love that's already gone ahead of you? Amen. I do too. I got a mom and a dad that are waiting. And they're going to come back with the Lord. Their soul's going to come back, and then their bodies are going to be drawn from the grave, and there's going to be a reunion of their spirit with their soul, and they're going to have that new glorified body. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead. Then, secondly, there's going to be a rapture of the living saints. This is something that tickled me to death when I started looking at this past week. Brother Jack, I was working on this sermon. By the way, this is one of those sermons in the series, Favorite Verses of Bible Baptist Church. And Brother Jack over here, he didn't submit just one. He submitted me 3 pages of verses, all dealing with the coming of the Lord. So I can only deal with one at a time. But he's going back to Texas next week. He won't be here, so I had to get this sermon in while he's here. But Brother Jack, while I was working on this sermon for you and the rest of you, you get in on it. But I got to looking at that word caught up. Got my Strong's Concordance out. And it all, in a Strong's Concordance gives you the English, but then it also shows you what the Greek word is from which we get the English. I'm not a Greek scholar, but anybody can check this out. The Greek word for caught up is harpazo. Harpazo. And that word harpazo means to be seized and snatched away by a sudden force. To be seized and snatched away by a sudden force. And then I found out that that word harpazo is the same word that we get our English word harpoon. Harpazo, harpoon. You know what a harpoon is? You got a gun and it shoots a spear with a cable attached to it. Is you're trying to shoot a whale, and that spear goes out and it pierces the body of that whale, that harpoon, and then that whale, the whalers, the guys on the boat, would literally take that cable and they would tow it in to them, amen, and that would be called harpooning, to be seized and snatched away by a sudden force. Hey, I'm going to get harpooned by Jesus. Amen. He's going to shoot his harpoon down at me. He's going to hit me. He's going to pull me up to be with him. Amen. We're going to be seized and snatched away by a sudden force. The word is snatched. We're talking about the ultimate invasion of the body snatcher. That's what he is. Amen, amen, amen. And it's all going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Did some study on that twinkling of an eye. You know how fast the twinkling of an eye? It's 2/5 of a second. 2/5, it's not even a second. It's 2/5, not even a half a second. 2/5 of a second. Twinkling of an eye. Bam! It's all going to happen. That's fast. I like fast things. I really do. I mean, give me a Mustang and I'll show you how much I like fast things. A Camaro will do. It doesn't have to be a Corvette. It doesn't have to be a Ferrari. I'm not extravagant. It doesn't have to be a Lamborghini. Just a Mustang or a Camaro or I'll even take a Dodge Challenger, all right? Hint, hint. Just Camrys just don't cut it. I was reading this book the other day, and this one guy has his own description of what the rapture is going to be like for somebody that's saved. And I wrote it down. I want to read this to you. It's really good. He wrote, millions of people all over the world will hear a deafening shout like a trumpet. They will feel a sudden tingling sensation pulsating through their bodies. They are instantly energized and their bodies gloriously changed. Those with physical deformities are instantly healed. The blind suddenly see. Listen to this. Wrinkles disappear on the elderly as their youth is restored. Woo! And their clothing and their glasses and their hearing aids fall off into a pile on the floor as they're lifted skyward. Those in buildings pass right through the ceiling and the roof without being harmed. Their flesh and bones seem to dematerialize and rematerialize as they go through solid objects, defying all laws of physics and biology. As they ascend heavenward, some of them see and greet those that have risen from the grave ahead of them, loved ones. Then after a brief mystical reunion with the Lord in the sky, they all vanish in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Now that ought to excite you. Amen. I read that thing and said, oh, even so come Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Amen. That's something to look forward to. You know, the world doesn't have anything to look forward to. They're looking forward to November, where they think they're going to get their candidate either back in office or a new candidate in office. Listen, dear friend, that ain't going to help. That's not the solution to the problems. The ultimate solution is the Lord coming back. That rapture, you think about it, could happen any moment. It's going to happen all around the world instantly. All around the world. See, the Bible talks about some people will be grinding at the mill, some will be working in the field, and some will be in bed. Well, that shows you that the earth revolves, and while some people are sleeping on one side of the planet, other people are working in the fields on the other side of the planet. It's going to happen instantly all around the world. That means that some are going to be snatched from their cars. Driverless cars. Some are going to be snatched from buses. Some are going to be snatched from airplanes. Some are going to be snatched from their places of business. They're going to be sitting there at their desk or sitting there working in the shipyards or maybe working in a... as a barista or something, and all of a sudden they're going to be serving somebody a cup of coffee, and the rapture is going to take place, and the coffee is just going to go right to the floor, amen? And the customer is going to look, where'd they go? It's going to have places of, people are going to vanish from classrooms and schools. People are going to vanish from their beds. Think about it. You got a saved man and an unsaved woman. They're married. The rapture takes place. The woman gets up. Where's my husband? His pajamas are here, but there's nobody in the pajamas. Amen, amen. People are going to vanish from their dinner tables while they're eating dinner. People are going to, babies are going to vanish from their cribs. Christians are going to be raptured right off of operating tables in hospitals. Picture that doctor, man. He's getting ready to use his scalpel and all of a sudden, boom, the body's gone. I'm not talking science fiction here, folks. I'm talking Bible. The worst thing is that some people are going to vanish from church pews while others are going to be left behind. But there's going to be some places that it's going to seem like it's the rapture doesn't even affect them. Taverns, X-rated movies, drug dens, casinos, meetings at Kingdom Halls. They're not even going to know what happened. Nobody's going to be missing there. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead in Christ, and there's going to be a rapture of the living saints. But I see a third thing here. Notice it says, verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise." There's your resurrection. "Then we which are alive and remain," there's the catching up of the rapture of the living saints, "will be caught up." Now, underline this next word or put a ring around it. "Together with them." Together with them. I like that word, together. Together with them. With who's the them? The dead in Christ that were raised ahead of us. Our loved ones. That is, there's going to also be a reunion. It's going to be the biggest reunion this world has ever known. We talk about class reunions and family reunions. Well, think about this reunion. In the clouds, amen. I'm going to go up and I'm going to see my mother again. I was there when I saw her trust Jesus Christ as her Savior at 4655 Winifred Street in Wayne, Michigan. I saw her in our living room as a Baptist preacher led her to Christ and saw her in tears receive Christ as her Savior. She went to heaven 5 months after that. Brain aneurysm. Gone. But I'm going to see her again. I'm going to see my daddy again. He got saved as a young boy in a tent revival in Detroit, Michigan, on Woodward Avenue. I know that because my aunt sent me a little New Testament. She said, "This was your dad's New Testament." And she sent that to me. And I opened up the front flap and it said to Alan, my dad was also named Alan, to Alan on the night he received Jesus as his Savior in the tent meeting on Woodward Avenue, and he gave the date there. I want to tell you, you talk about some shouting. There's going to be some shouting when I get to see my mom and dad again. I haven't seen them in a long time. They both died when I was a teenager. I'll see them again. And then it says, "So shall we ever." Ooh. "So shall we ever." Look at the end of verse 17. Underline it. "So shall we ever be with the Lord." We sing that song, "What a Day That Will Be." There'll be no parting over there. No more saying goodbye. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Once that rapture takes place, we're going to be together forever and ever and ever. Amen. No more saying goodbye. No more parting. We'll be with Jesus and all those saved saints. Got to hurry. So I see the coming of the Lord here in this shout. And I see the catching up of the saints in this shout. But also notice the comfort of the Scriptures in verse 18. "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And of course, the comfort has to do with those that have gone on before us. Notice there's a stimulus here. Wherefore, see the word wherefore? Circle that word, wherefore. That is, the wherefore refers back to what he just said. That is, because of what I've just said about the Lord coming back and all the doctrine about the rapture and the resurrection and the dead in Christ going up and we're going to meet him in the air, that ought to cause you to do something. There ought to be a stimulus here. The truth of the rapture should never become something passive or trite or something we take casually. Say, well, preacher, I've been hearing about it over and over and over and over again. David Hunt wrote a book called Whatever Happened to Heaven. That's a great book. And the premise of that book is that you go to many churches today, you don't hear preachers talking about the rapture anymore. You don't hear them talking about heaven anymore. It's like they're getting settled, and it's like they've given up hope on the rapture ever taking place. They've heard it, and they've heard it, and they've heard it, and they've heard it, and it still hasn't happened, so they're just not going to say it anymore. Listen, dear friend, you should never get tired about hearing about the Lord coming back. It ought to be a stimulus for you to have comfort and to clean up your life and look for that glorious appearing. There's a stimulus. Wherefore? Because of Him coming, wherefore comfort? You ought to do something here. Notice the subjects of the comfort. Wherefore comfort who? One another. You know who's going to get comfort from the truth that the Lord's coming back? It ain't going to be the unsaved. The unsaved could care less about the Lord coming back. They don't believe He's coming back. Right. Who's going to get the comfort here? It's one another. It's you. It's saints. It's believers. We're the ones that are comforted by His coming. And notice the source of the comfort. It's with these words. The greatest source of comfort, I hold it right in my hands. Right here. It's the Word of the Lord. I could try to comfort you with some neat little story. I could try to comfort you. You're going through some bereavement. Maybe a husband has died or a child has died or a parent has died. And I could try to comfort you in all different ways to comfort you. But the best thing that's going to comfort you is right here. Comfort one another with what? Some psychobabble talk? No. With these words. This is the greatest. That passage there in 1 Thessalonians 4 has been quoted probably just as much as Psalm 23 at funerals. Why? Because it's a great hope that we're going to see our loved ones again. But I want to close with this last thought. Number 4, this shout is going to trigger the cataclysm of God's wrath. It's going to trigger the cataclysmic upheavals that are described in the last book of your Bible, the book of Revelation. You think about what's going to happen on planet Earth. The chaos. The aftermath of the rapture. What is this world going to be left like? As Christians are taken out. Millions and millions of people vanish in the world, left without a single Christian. The world's going to get what it wanted. No more Christians. But you think about a world without a single Christian. What did God say the Christian is? You are the salt of the earth. The preserving force of corruption in the earth. You keep the corruption at bay. And that salt is going to be removed. But not only that, Jesus also said, you are the light of the world. So the salt is going to be removed. The light is going to be taken away. And that's going to leave the world in total darkness without any restraint on evil. That's just going to leave the door wide open for Satan and the Antichrist to take over. And this world is going to be plunged into great tribulation. And God's wrath is going to be poured out on this planet in the form of seal judgments and trumpet judgments and vial judgments. All spoken of in the book of Revelation. You want to see what this world is going to be like under the Antichrist without any Jesus Christ? Read the book of Revelation. That's where this world is heading to after the rapture. The cataclysm of God's wrath being poured out. Take your Bible and turn. Right here in 1 Thessalonians, just go to the next chapter, chapter 5. Let me show you a couple of verses here. It says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now watch it. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief." See, we're going to be out of here. But if you skip on down to verse number 9, notice it says, "For God hath not appointed us to what?" Why would he say that? Because that's what's coming. After the rapture, it's going to be a time of God's wrath. God, we're going to be taken out of here before the wrath of God falls. Amen. Go over to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Follow with me, verse 14 down to the end of the chapter. "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the what? The wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his what? Wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Answer, nobody. When the Lord comes back, people are going to be running for cover, man. They're going to try to hide when there ain't no place to hide. The great day of his wrath has come. When's that going to happen, preacher? Right after that shout. And we're taken out of here. I'm so glad I ain't going to be here. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be left to suffer the undiluted wrath of God poured out. I dare you. Go home and read Revelation 6, 7, 8. Those horsemen judgments. Then you get over in chapter 7 and 8 and you're going to start reading about those seal judgments. Then that's going to take you into about chapter 9 and 10. Then you're going to see those trumpet judgments. And right after those trumpet judgments are done, then you're going to see the vial judgments of God's wrath being poured out. You read those chapters, chapter 6 through chapter 19, and that's what's in store for you if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You say, "Well, preacher, if I see everybody missing, then I'll just get saved." Well, first of all, even if you could get saved, you still couldn't escape the wrath of God. But secondly, I doubt that you will get saved. Because my Bible says in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that they that have received, that won't receive the knowledge of the truth that they might be saved, God is going to send them strong delusion and they're going to believe a lie. That they all might be damned. You say, "Well, I'll get..." No, God's going to send, is going to send you a delusion and you're going to believe the lie of the Antichrist. I don't know what that lie is going to be, but he is a deceiver from the beginning and he'll lie and you'll accept that rather than the love of the truth that you might be saved. The best thing for you to do is get saved now and escape all of that. Back when we lived on Woods Road, and the parsonage was out on Woods Road, and we had some acreage out there, we had a horse. The horse's name was Hawkeye. Actually, I bought the horse for my daughter Ruth. She loved horses, and so it was more or less her horse. But when she got me, left the horse with us to take care of. But I remember we would have a horseshoer come out, you know, about every 6 new horseshoes on Hawkeye. And he would come out and he'd put these new shoes on, take the old shoes off and put new shoes on Hawkeye. And I would watch him do that. And it was always interesting when he got done, when he got the old shoes off and the new shoes on the hoofs of Hawkeye, he would go to the back of his pickup and he'd take this big, huge magnet. It must have been about like this, big magnet thing, and had it on a rope. And he'd go over the area where he put the horseshoes on Hawkeye, and he'd wave that magnet over the grass. And any nails that he dropped by mistake while he was putting the new shoes on or taking the old shoes off, that you would see him jump out of the grass and go boop, right onto the magnet. Boop, boop, boop. Sometimes you get about 3 or 4. You remember that, Ruth? Just wave that thing. It wouldn't touch the ground. He'd just wave it in the air over the grass. And those nails would just fly up. Why is that? Because there was something in the nature of the nails that corresponded with the nature in the magnet. And that magnet would draw that thing in the nail to itself. That's exactly what the rapture is going to be like. When you got saved, you became partaker of the divine nature, according to the book of Peter. You have the nature of God in you if you're saved. The Bible says, he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. You have a divine nature within you. So when Jesus comes back, there's going to be something in your nature, if you're saved, that's going to correspond with his nature, and all you're going to be immediately attracted. Boom! Just like those nails to a magnet. Boom! You're going to be attracted and leave this earth. That he's going to have such a magnetic power that every Christian is going to be drawn right off this planet. Amen. You're not going to need a booster rocket or anything. But if you don't have the nature of God within you, if you don't have that divine nature, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ within you, there's nothing in you that's going to draw you off this planet. You're going to be left behind. Do you have the Spirit of Christ? When a person gets saved, they invite Jesus to come into their heart and life. And Jesus comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. And your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your body has the Spirit of Christ. So that when he comes back, won't be any problem identifying whose is his and whose ain't. Amen. Can you remember a time in your life? I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about how good of a person you are, or how bad a person you are. I'm not talking about if you've ever been baptized and dunked in water or sprinkled. That has nothing to do with it. I'm talking about a time when you had a head-on encounter with Jesus Christ and you saw yourself a sinner on the road to hell and you didn't want to go to hell and you opened your heart and invited Jesus to come in. You remember a time when you did that? If you can't, you ought to do it today. Because the rapture could take place at any moment, and you would be left behind if you didn't. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.